prayer meeting. People praying in the temple, people praying outside the temple, at the altar of incense, at the hour of prayer, God's giving his answer when people are praying. Now, I think that we fall into this, though. Don't we pray, but we're not really expecting God to answer while we're praying? Has God ever done that to you, by the way? You're praying for something, and then the answer happens while you're praying? And that's happened a few times a month. And that's not how God always does. He doesn't always do that. That's why, we have to trust him. We have to, walk in faith and keep praying, keep seeking him. But yet, in this instance, while they're praying, while he's praying, God shows up by sending a messenger, an angel. Then an angel of the Lord, verse 11, appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." I'm not sure if this is what Zechariah had in mind when he was praying. It is a direct, I believe it is an answer to prayer for what he was praying, because I believe that he was praying like faithful Jews prayed for their coming Messiah, for their Lord, for God's fulfillment of his promise. But I don't believe that Zechariah had any idea, of course he didn't, that God was going to answer his prayer this way. Now, what's interesting, and I thought of this, is again, that, remember that the temple, and the Holy of Holies, this temple represented the place where God's glory dwelt. Where God spoke his word, where God manifested himself in this place. But it's been many, many years. Many, many years. And the temple has been essentially bereft of the presence of God. And no angel of the Lord has visited. And no divine presence has made an appearance. No glory, no power, no majesty. Yet, Zechariah and men like him are faithful, faithfully serving the Lord, ministering to the Lord. All the detail, all the fine detail that went into this, and different people gathering their supplies and just a lot of instruction about how this was going to be built. And then went into the priesthood and what they were supposed to be doing and how they were supposed to be dressed. And went into the musicians and how they were going to be selected. And so the whole presentation, the temple and the priesthood and all that was going to be divinely appointed and systematically established. When it was finally done on their part, then the glory of the Lord came down. And the priests fled for fear of their lives, even while their hearts were full of joy that the temple, when the Shekinah glory came down. Oh, and how it was the presence of God that made the temple special. Because the temple was for God. No, it didn't contain God. What can contain God? But God said, "I will be there." And that will be symbolic of my presence and favor for my chosen people. And for Zechariah. It says great fear fell upon him. No, he was scared to death. He's already looking at the end. And maybe he's going to get there sooner than he thought. There's reasons why he's afraid, of course, because, angels just don't show up anymore. Angelic visitations just don't happen anymore. They're not common. And the other thing is, often you go back to the scripture, and yeah, there were some times when angels showed up and it wasn't a good thing. Some people were left dying in the wake of that. So no wonder he's a little afraid, a little startled, a little troubled. But God sends Gabriel. Who stands in the presence of God. I love that. It's like the God himself God sent an angel that stands in the presence of God to go talk to Zechariah. He had just been, if you will, I mean, we can understand space and time and all that spirit and matter and all that. You know, in a sense, it's a breath away, but in another sense, there's a chasm between the two. And the angel that was just standing at the presence of God is standing next to Zechariah with a message straight from God. And he says, your prayer is heard. The time of deliverance has come. 400 years of divine silence have come to an end. Listen, no one has heard a direct word from heaven since Malachi. It's been 400 years. And now God chooses an old man that's about the end of his life to start talking. Your prayer is heard. Deliverance is on the way. The heavens are opened. God is speaking. God is on the move again. Who doesn't long for the move of God to happen? He replies, of course, with fear. But your prayer has been heard. This is, for me, interesting. Just because, what prayer? What prayers has he been praying there in the temple? He's been praying for national deliverance. He's been praying for spiritual deliverance. He's been praying for the deliverer to come. He's been praying for freedom for his people and for the oppression to be lifted up and removed. He's been praying for those things. And so, yes, in that sense, his prayer has been answered. That God is going to accomplish these things. But I believe there's another prayer that's tied up in that prayer. There's another prayer that God, it's like God is answering two prayers. One prayer that's happening and another prayer that stopped happening years ago. Because I don't believe that Zechariah is praying for a kid. I don't believe he's praying for a son. But God didn't forget the prayers of these two faithful elderly people. He did not forget their years of waiting, their years of expecting, their years of hoping. He didn't forget any of that. And so when he says, your prayer is answered, and Zechariah's like, oh, what prayer? The prayers that I was just praying in here? Yeah, that prayer. But there's another prayer that you stopped praying a long time ago, but I didn't forget about. In fact, I'm going to take the prayer of your heart that I have perpetually remembered, I've kept in my jar. The Bible talks about God keeping prayers in his jar in Revelation. Go ahead and look for it. I think it's in Revelation. If it's not there, then you'll be looking a long time. I think it's in there. So God takes that prayer and he takes the other prayer and he puts them together. He takes the desire of Zechariah and Elizabeth and he uses that prayer to answer the other prayer. Because their son is going to be essential to the unfolding plan and purpose of God and bringing the deliverer that they were praying for on this day when incense was being offered. And so in answering the one prayer, God's going to fulfill his own purpose and deliverance with the prayers of this couple for a child. And their lives, oh, not coming to an end. Their lives are going to be turned upside down. Verse 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is powerful, because in answering their prayer, he's not just giving them any son. He's given them the very son that will make way for the son. Gabriel actually, and I think this would have been like, you know, because Zechariah knows God's word. He knows the Old Testament. Gabriel quotes the last prophetic book in the Old Testament. Again, remember we were just talking about the last time God spoke, any substantial way that we understand or know, is way back in Malachi. And so Gabriel quotes the last prophetic book of the Old Testament, Malachi. In fact, he quotes the very inspired by the Spirit, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers." He quotes Malachi, quotes the last verses of Malachi, and says that when you've read through the Old Testament scriptures, and you actually, I think it'd be going from this way to this way. Anyway, when you got to the last words, and then God went silent. That's where Gabriel picks up at. Those words, the last words that God spoke in the Bible, here they are. Your son is going to fulfill them. He would have known, Zechariah would have known these words. He would have remembered the closing promise of the Old Testament. He would have remembered what Malachi also said regarding this one in chapter 3. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming." That's Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. So he would have understood that the one that chapter 3 is referring to is also the one that chapter 4 at the very end is referring to, that his son would be the messenger preparing the way for the messenger. That would be Jesus, his very own son. It's one impossibility for he and Liz to have a son. That's impossible. It's an even greater impossibility, it would seem, on a whole other level, for them to have the son that Malachi is talking about. So this is too crazy to believe. And of course, Zechariah doesn't believe it immediately. He'll have a long time to contemplate his unbelief, right? It says in verse 18, "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.'" It's like, look at me, look at her. You got to be kidding me, right? You got the wrong guy. And because of his unbelief or disbelief, the angel answered and said, I mean, can you imagine the angel? It's like, there's this whole like encounter happening right here. The angel's like, "I'm Gabriel. What is wrong with you? I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and bring you glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." I mean, who can blame Zechariah in some ways, right? I mean, who can blame him for doubting? I mean, like Zechariah, it's hard for us to believe that God still does miracles. In our cynical age, we are inclined to doubt the supernatural workings of God. Or we might give intellectual assent to it because of the Bible and because we're people of faith. And so, yes, we believe that God does miracles and he does supernatural things. But not here, not now, and certainly not with me and for me. Right? If we're honest with ourselves, we don't really expect God to do anything out of the ordinary. Right? And so guess what? Our faith ends up becoming ordinary. Oh, it's saving, because it only takes faith to believe and to be saved. But I believe that there's something going on here, and there's some lessons that we can glean from Zechariah. That, you know, God has a way of stepping into our lives when we're paying attention. And he's the same God as the one who sent Gabriel this day. Do we believe that? We believe that. He's the same God. Did he change somewhere along the way once he got into the 21st century? Did God just change somehow? Like, oh, well, yeah. We don't do those kind of things. We don't do supernatural anymore. We just kind of stick with the ordinary. We don't want to get all crazy. No, this is crazy. This is crazy. I think we need to check our spiritual pulse. What do I believe? He's blameless and righteous before God. But then all of a sudden God starts speaking outside the box. Outside of what he understood religion to be in his life. Because it's been a while since God talked in this way to anyone that we know of. But we can do the same thing. Do you not understand that? We can fall into the same trap to where we believe, but we don't really expect anything. You know, Christmas is all about expectation. This whole story is about, it's about the fulfillment of expectation and anticipation. But you and I, we tend to get stuck in a rut. And it's a good rut, like if we can say that, quote unquote, a good rut. Meaning like, it's not like we're a bad, like doing terrible things. We're just living our lives faithfully, righteously, trying to do right by God and by others, right? We're trying to do that. Go to church and, you know, we read our Bibles and we do those things. But there's something underlying all that there may be an element of disbelief. Because we're just not expecting God to show up today. We're not expecting God to start speaking. Yes, you open the Word of God and he speaks through the Word of God. But you know, you and I tend to, I think, read the words and we're thankful for the words. But are we expecting the voice of God to declare outside the Word of God from the Word of God? I don't know. I think we do a lot of reading and we read and then we go on. But are we expecting God to speak? I think that's what took Zechariah by surprise. Because he lived his whole life faithful and yet no voice of God. It's just silence. But now God speaks. And his inclination first is disbelief. And we're not going to knock him because I think we would do the same thing. I think our response would be, nah, not here, not now. Not me, certainly. And we might try to explain something away. I don't know. I mean, this would be hard. It might be hard to explain away what happens to Elizabeth in a little while. Right? We have plenty of time. I'm just cruising. I am Gabriel. Another trigger. Another like, bing! Gabriel, you know there's only been two angels given names in the Bible that we don't know of? Who's the other one? Michael. Michael and Gabriel, the only two angels that have been given a name. I'm sure they all have names, but there's two in the Bible. One of them's Gabriel. Gabriel's right in the middle of at the beginning of this story unfolding. He comes from the presence of God to start the story, to unfold and answer the promise of God. When was the last time we heard about Gabriel? Anyone? Oh, no, he didn't even show up to Mary yet. Anybody know? Where would Zechariah's mind gone to when he was in the presence of the angel Gabriel? The book of Daniel. And guess what Daniel's doing? Way back in, I don't know, chapter 9. I had it here somewhere. Chapter 9. And Daniel, guess what Daniel's doing when Gabriel shows up? He is praying. Let me read it. Now, while I was speaking, Daniel says, praying and confessing. By the way, if you've not taken at least this one thing, you better start praying. Because prayer matters to God. Prayer gets God's attention. Prayer puts you in a position where God can use you and speak to you. Okay? So if you leave with anything, leave with the desire and a commitment. I need to pray more. Okay? Now, while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel reached me about the time of the evening offering, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out. At the beginning of your supplications, at the beginning of your prayers, the command went out. And I have come, for you are greatly beloved. Because God loves you. And God sent the angel closest to him to you. And the last time that Zechariah heard the name of Gabriel was when he read the book of Daniel that happened, I don't know, however many hundred years ago. And it's that Gabriel, that angel of the Lord, that divine messenger that's right in my presence now talking to me. That angel, wow. And why? For Daniel's sake? Because you are beloved. As soon as you opened your mouth, God answered. Do you think that Zechariah wouldn't have been thinking a little bit about that scripture in Daniel? Associating the, well, what happened when Gabriel showed up back then? I mean, am I cool? Or what happened then? Oh. He was sent by God to Daniel to answer his prayer. What a startling revelation this would have been for him. Because God didn't send just any angel. Any angel would have done, right? Would do, right? But he sent that angel. And so all that happens, verse 21, Zechariah said, marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. Obviously, the conversation maybe lasted longer than expected with the angel. I don't know, but the people don't know why. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house, growing in his elderly wife's womb. And how he was in care of the fulfillment of prophecy, the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. I believe in that period of time, his disbelief turned into great faith as he silently ponders the wonder of God in choosing him at this stage in his life. Even with his disbelief that God would choose to be a part of the beginning of the story of redemption. That he would be a part of the answer to his prayers. That his son would be the one that prepares the way of the Lord. You know, once John is born, Zechariah's tongue is loosed. And all that pent-up praise comes pouring out. Now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Isn't that crazy? The last time there was a prophet was Malachi. And the first prophet in the New Testament, is an old man who didn't see it coming, who doubted that it could. But here's Zechariah prophesying, offering the first word of prophecy. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. And he goes on, verse 76, is referring to his child. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And as he spoke to his little boy, John, you are the son that's going to make the way for the son. And their lives, the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth, started all over again. In closing, just a few thoughts. Maybe a few exhortations. Things to take away. Live a life. Let us live lives that are faithful and obedient. Available for the Lord, because you never know when God might show up. Let the prayer of incense ascend from our hearts to heaven, because God still hears and answers prayer. Even that prayer that still might be unanswered and forgotten about, he doesn't forget. Be ready to believe and not doubt, because God is still able to do the impossible, even with you. And finally, we're all part of God's redemption story. For this day, we thank you for your word, and we're thankful, Lord God, for the Christmas story, and that our lives get to be a part of it. We thank you, Lord God, that redemption has come to us. We're thankful for the times when you've demonstrated and shown that you answer prayer. Lord, stir up faith again in the power of prayer. Remind your people that you are a God who hears prayer and answers. And you delight in it. You delight when we trust you and call upon your name. Help us, Lord God, to be ready to believe, to not be so full of disbelief as if God doesn't do those things anymore. He doesn't do the miraculous or the supernatural. Oh God, our world needs that today. There are those in our lives that need the supernatural intervention of God. Help us to believe that you can still do it and desire to do so. And Father, help us to live lives that are faithful, doing the best with what you've given us for your honor and glory. And as we do that, we're saying, Lord, use us. We're available. Use us for your glory and to bring others to you. Thank you, God, for our time together. Thank you for Elizabeth and Zechariah, and thank you for their part in the story. And thank you for our part as well. We thank you in us all these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said. Amen. All God's people said. Amen. Put your hands together, praise the Lord. God bless you, Lord.